Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 5, Karma Yoga Action, Krishna Consciousness, text number 15. Narate kasuchit papam nachaiva sukritam vibhu agyane navritam jnanam tena muyanti jantava. Na, never, adate, accepts, kasyachit, anyone's, papam, sin, na, not, cha, also, eva, certainly, sukritam, pious activities, vibhu, the Supreme Lord, agyanena, by ignorance, avritam, covered, jnanam, knowledge, tena, by that, muyanti, are bewildered, jantava, the living entities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Nor is the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. Purport. The Sanskrit word vibhu means the Supreme Lord who is full of unlimited knowledge, riches, strength, fame, beauty, and renunciation. He is always satisfied in himself, undisturbed by sinful or pious activities. He does not create a particular situation for any living entity, but the living entity, bewildered by ignorance, desires to be put into certain conditions of life, and thereby his chain of action and reaction begins. A living entity is by superior nature full of knowledge. Nevertheless, he is prone to be influenced by ignorance due to his limited power. The Lord is omnipotent, the living entity is not. The Lord is vibhu, or omniscient. The living entity is anu, or atomic. Because he is a living soul, he has the capacity to desire by his free will. Such desire is fulfilled only by the omnipotent Lord. And so when the living entity is bewildered in his desires, the Lord allows him to fulfill those desires, but the Lord is never responsible for the actions and reactions of the particular situation which may be desired. Being in a bewildered condition, therefore the invited soul identifies himself with a circumstantial material body and becomes subjected to the temporary misery and happiness of life. The Lord is the constant companion of the living entities, Paramatma, or the super soul, and therefore he can understand the desires of the individual soul as one can smell the flavor of a flower by being near it. Desire is a subtle form of conditioning for the living entity. The Lord fulfills his desires as he deserves. Man proposes and God disposes. The individual is not, therefore, omnipotent in fulfilling his desires. The Lord, however, can fulfill all desires, and the Lord, being neutral to everyone, does not interfere with the desires are the minute, independent, living entities. However, one desires Krishna, the Lord takes special care and encourages one to desire in such a way that one may attain to him and be eternally happy. The Vedic hymns therefore declare, Esha u yeva sadu karma karanti tamyam evyo lokebhya unishite esha u eva sadhu karma karati karayati yam ado ni nishate. The Lord engages the living entities in pious activities so he may be elevated. The Lord engages in impious activities so he can go to hell. Kaushitaki Upanishad. Agyo jantora nisho yam Atmana sukha dukkha yo ishvara prariti gachit svargam vas vabhadram evacha. The living entity is completely dependent on in his distress and happiness. By the will of the Supreme, he can go to heaven or hell, as a cloud is driven by the air. Therefore, the embodied soul, by his immemorial desire to avoid Krishna consciousness, causes his own bewilderment. Consequently, although he is constitutionally eternal, blissful, and incognizant, due to the littleness of his existence, he forgets his constitutional position of service to the Lord and is thus entrapped by nescience. And under the spell of ignorance, the living entity claims that the Lord is responsible for his conditional existence. The Vedanta Sutra 2.134 also confirms this. Vaishamya nirgrine na sapekshadvat tata hi darshiyati. The Lord neither hates nor likes anyone, though he appears to. Nadate kasuchet papam na papam sukritim vibhu agyane navritam jnana tena muyanti jantava. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Invited beings, however, bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. Simple philosophy. Everything depends on our desire. We don't have anything more in the material world than the capacity to desire. Now, how we desire, that depends upon our desire. In other words, if we desire to go back to the spiritual world, then we can desire to be put into a situation where that's possible, or situations. And if we desire to go to hell, we can desire that also, by desiring to be put into certain circumstances. In other words, purusha prakriti sohi bhunkte prakriti jaraganai karna guna sangosya sad asad yoni janmasu. The living entity of the material world carries his different conceptions just like the air is carrying aroma. Unless he takes one kind of body and he goes, oh, that's a different verse. Actually, the living entity of the material world follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with those modes, and thus he meets both good and bad or within this sarasadyonishu. Thus he finds himself in good and bad existences. So everything depends upon desire, and desire depends upon what we're associating with. If we want to make spiritual progress, then we associate with a situation in which we can learn how to desire in terms of Krishna consciousness. And if we want something else, then we take that association. If you want to learn how to drink alcohol, how to mix different types of alcohol, this is not a good place to come. You have to go to the place where people are expert at such things. And that all depends upon what we think will make us happy. If we think a certain arrangement of the material nature will make us happy, then we'll try to desire so that we're put into that situation. And if we think that becoming spiritually conscious will make us happy, then we desire to be put into that situation where we can develop that kind of desire. It all depends on our previous karma, our previous activities, and our present association. That even a person who doesn't have any pious activities, never desired anything in terms of spiritual life, if he gets good association, he might get a higher taste, a higher experience, a higher samskara. That little taste may cause one to desire to get more of that taste. That's our philosophy. Adau, shara, sadhusanga. In the beginning, people, if they're fortunate enough to in contact with someone who has a higher taste, they may become interested in getting that, and they experience something, they may be interested in getting more of that higher taste. If people get a higher taste, then they want more of a higher taste. If they get satisfied in some way, they'll want more of it. Even in the mode of ignorance, people take pleasure in the mode of ignorance, in ignorant activities. If you get relief from suffering by going to sleep, then you want to sleep longer because you think, I'll get more relief. If you get relief from intoxication, then you get addicted to intoxication because it gives you a higher taste up to a certain point, and therefore you get addicted to intoxication, all seeking after pleasure. Unfortunately, as Krishna says, that which in the beginning may be bitter like poison, at the end is like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, said to be happiness and mode of goodness. So that takes intelligence to go through the austerity of temporarily what is called the shreyas and prayas, giving up our prayas, our immediate satisfaction, for shreyas, for some ultimate good. But that takes some knowledge that the immediate gratification will not, may make us immediately satisfied, but in the long run will suffer. Everyone has that idea. People go to college, they spend thousands and thousands of euros in order to get an education, they stay up at night studying, all with the idea that if we go through this austerity, in the future we'll get a good job, and we'll be able to make a lot of money and get all the things that are necessary to gratify our senses. The yogis will stop eating, stop sleeping, stop breathing, whatever, in order to obtain a certain power or to get to a certain designation. And as we have the case, even Hiranyakashipu, he stopped standing on the tip of his toes for 120 years, not breathing because he had no lungs left. The insects ate his lungs, they ate his heart. He had no heart to begin with, but anyhow. And they ate everything, but he was hoping to get immortality. Which could be better? What could be a higher goal than that? Going through so much austerity just so he can become eternal within this body. Of course, if he had read the scriptures a little bit more, he would have found out that that wasn't possible, but in the meantime, the ants and the moss ate his brains, so he had no brains. So he couldn't figure it out. So everyone, whatever they're doing, they're hoping that they're going to get a higher taste, and everyone in the material world is thinking they're getting some taste from what they're doing. They may get a lot of misery, but they think it's worth that little bit of taste. So that's called they're desiring to fulfill their desires. And according to what glories they hear, who they associate with, they'll hear certain glories. And according to those glories, and they try it out, they experiment, and they get addicted to something, and they keep on trying again and again to find satisfaction. And when they can no longer find satisfaction, then they want to give up this body, go somewhere else to try and find satisfaction there. But if one is fortunate enough to come in contact with someone who's actually conscious of Krishna and is able to experience Krishna consciousness, then one may desire Krishna, and Krishna will help in every respect. Otherwise, Krishna is sending his material energy to put people into stress. Imagine how many people were thinking that life was good, they were going to be successful, all their plans were going to be fulfilled, they were going to get that house they wanted, they were going to get the wife and husband they wanted, their children were going to grow up to be doctors and lawyers. They were going to live happily ever after, and now they're stuck in a house, they can't even move out of it. They lost their job, probably lose their wife soon. Children are at home screaming because they can't do anything. And all their plans have been smashed. And they thought they were in control. Everything was good. They had a voice in this world. And now suddenly they find out they're insignificant. And they don't even know if they're going to get anything to eat next week. So the Krishna is arranging it. Because otherwise we're thinking we're very powerful, independent, and we're desiring to just go on to do the same thing again and again, whatever the television is telling us, wherever the movie star is telling you. We were just designed to do that, hoping to get happiness, and here we are. Can't move out. Maybe they were wrong. Maybe the plan I had wasn't going to be 100% successful. Maybe there are other factors. Maybe I'm not the supreme controller around here. Maybe I'm not as independent as I'm imagining. So that's very Krishna's kindness. He's waking up the whole planet. That there, it was already going on for probably centuries. That they were enslaved by intoxication, by meat eating, by gambling, by illicit sex. Everyone's enslaved by these things. And they thought life was good and it was going to get better. And now Krishna is showing that you're just a slave. You're insignificant. You can't do anything. And when Maya pulls the plug, you're finished. So it was a good warning to everyone. Better to get warned now, because otherwise everyone was entering into the lower species of life anyhow. They were accomplishing absolutely nothing by all their endeavors except for digging a deeper well for them to fall into. And Krishna is now there. He's saving them. He's stopping their mad rush towards hell, slowing it down a little bit. So maybe some people will start thinking a little more clearly exactly what they're desiring, what is actually the promised land, is actually materialism and technology. Maybe 5G wasn't going to send them to the spiritual world. So let's see. Of course, we have the desire to help them out. We have the desire to spread Krishna consciousness. We have to wake up also. Otherwise we're thinking, I don't want to bother these people. They're happy. They seem contented. They have everything they need. We're living in a very civilized place. Everyone has, you know, a mobile phone and they have access to the internet and everything's good. And why should I bother these people? Why should I be bothered trying to bother these people? So maybe we'll wake up and we can help wake up other people too. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments?
A friend of mine once asked me, why doesn't Krishna help me change my desires quicker? I want to go to Krishna. I want to become a good devotee. He knows it. I'm saying this. So why does it take so long for me to advance?
It's the same example is there. You go up to a tree and you embrace the tree and tell the tree, let me go, let me go, let me go. And someone comes along and says, sir, the tree's not holding on to you. You're holding on to the tree. Oh, no, no, just help me, help me. Don't you see the tree has got me? No, no, just let go of the tree. It'll be all right. You and your philosophy, go away, get someone to help me. So we claim we want Krishna. We don't even know who Krishna is. We have, you know, Krishna is the source of all material and spiritual worlds. And we have some idea that he's, you know, some coward boy or something. Maybe a little happiness. And we have no idea what's going on. So gradually we have to detach ourselves from our unlimited, practically, attachments and misconceptions, one by one, gradually. So this idea that I want Krishna, I don't even know Krishna. How can I want Krishna? I know him a little bit. So I want him a little bit, but I don't know what actually wanting Krishna means. I want an ice cream cone more than I want Krishna. If there was a chance to do deity worship and eat, you know, someone came with some strawberry ice cream on a cone, you say, yeah, I'll come back later to Krishna. Our desire is not so strong usually. We have to develop it. Humbly. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandaraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.